"We'll leave the light on for you" as a tagline for Motel 6's radio and advertising campaign that began in 1986. The campaign featured the voice of Tom Baudet, an American author, radio host, and voice actor. The campaign was so successful that it made Motel 6 a household name and won more advertising awards than any other lodging brand. Motel 6 is advertised as a home away from home, and motto, "We'll keep the lights on," gave assurance that no matter what time of day, you could find lodging there. The idea was that the lights being left on was a welcome sight and that someone would be home when you arrived. And we've been looking at the tabernacle for the past several weeks. And the tabernacle was the tent or house where God would dwell among his people within the Israelite covenant community, kind of like a neighborhood. Moses is on Mount Sinai with the Lord, and he's getting the instructions for building God's house and its furnishings that will be in it. We've been introduced to two rooms inside the tabernacle so far. The first room is the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant will reside. And the Ark of the Covenant is where God will dwell and meet with Moses when he comes down from heaven, and is symbolic of God's throne on the earth. It also symbolizes his power and presence with his people. One day a year, the Day of Atonement, the high priest will be allowed to go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice on the atonement cover. The blood of the sacrifice would cover the sins of the people and the penalty for their disobedience to God's holy commands. Then last week we were introduced to the second room called the Holy Place, which would be right outside the Holy of Holies, separated by a veil or curtain. There'll be three items of furniture in the Holy Place. Last week we talked about the table of the presence, which is where the 12 loaves of showbread, symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel, will be kept. Sorry about that. Got my pages mixed up. The table and the bread symbolize God's presence with and his provision for his people. As the priest tended to the table of the presence, they and the people through them will be reminded of how much God loves and cares for them, how much they can trust the Lord's presence with them, and how much they can trust that he will always provide for them. The table and the bread will also teach them a more important lesson, that their deepest need is constant fellowship and communion with God. Now this morning we come to the second item of furniture in the holy place, called the lampstand. In order for the priest to properly fulfill their duties in the holy place in a meaningful and acceptable manner, they needed light. And so God gave Moses instructions on making the lampstand. He also instructed them on the ministry that it would have in the life of his covenant people. Just like the motto, "We'll keep the lights on," gave assurance that no matter what time of day or night, someone was home and you could find lodging, the tabernacle and the lampstand served as a welcome sight that God was at home with his people. Just like the tabernacle, the table and the bread, the lampstand pointed to Jesus. God gave life and light to the world at creation and sent his son Jesus to the earth to be life and the light of the world. Now that Jesus is in heaven with God the Father, he has left us and all Christians to carry on the ministry of the lampstand, which brings us to our big idea this morning, that God desires that his people be life and light to the world. In order to do this, we need to keep the lights on. Before we dive into our scripture, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you today for who you are. You are Almighty God, sovereign, Lord of the universe, and we give you all honor and glory and praise this morning. We come before you as your people, surrender to you for your use. Pour out your spirit on us and help us to have open hearts and minds to your word. Speak to us this morning and help us to apply what we hear to our lives and to be willing to share your gospel with those we come in contact with this week. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's 2 points this morning. The first is making the lampstand, and that's found in Exodus 25, 31 to 36. This is what God's word says. "Make a lampstand of pure gold. Hammer out its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms of one piece with them. 6 branches are to extend from the sides of the lampstand. three on one side and three on the other. Three cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms are to be on one branch, three on the next branch, and the same for all six branches extending from the lampstand. And on the lampstand, there are to be four cups shaped like almond flowers with buds and blossoms. One bud shall be under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand, a second bud under the second pair, and a third bud under the third pair, six branches in all. The buds and branches shall all be of one piece with the lampstand, hammered out of pure gold. So again, we're still in the holy place, which is the room on the right in this picture. You can also see that there's the table of the presence there against the far wall. According to Exodus 26:35, the table was to be put outside the curtain of the Holy of Holies on the north side of the tabernacle, with the lampstand opposite on the south side. So, John, can you go back to the previous picture? Okay, thank you. So you can see the north side was on the right as the priests were looking at the curtain of the Holy of Holies. And then the lampstand was opposite the table, and the lamps were positioned to shine their light on it. You can go back, John, thank you. There was a practical purpose for this. We haven't gotten there yet, but the tabernacle is going to be covered with four different layers of four different kinds of material. And these layers would make it very difficult for the priest to see because it would be really dark in the tabernacle. The lampstand would allow the priest to see what they were doing as they performed their duties. The Hebrew word for lampstand is menorah and is derived from the verb which means to flame. The name menorah underscores the practical purpose of the lampstand, which was to give off light for the priests who worked in the holy place in the tabernacle. The lampstand was to be made of pure gold. Gold was used because it was a symbol of total purity, royal status, divinity, and holiness. It was used for the items that would be in the immediate presence of the Lord. And the lampstand was not to be made with a cast, but hammered out of one piece of gold by hand. The lampstand would consist of a base and a single main shaft. Six branches would extend from the shaft, three branches coming off of one side and three branches coming off the other side. And then three cups with buds and blossoms of an almond flower were to be fashioned on each of the six branches. And four cups, buds, and blossoms of an almond flower were to be fashioned on the main shaft. There was to be one bud under each pair of branches coming off the lampstand. And lastly, we're told that everything, the 22 buds, the six branches, and the main shaft, were to be hammered out of a single piece of pure gold. So here are a couple of pictures for you. The first one is an artist's rendition of the lampstand. Maybe you can see, hopefully you can see the 22 almond cups, buds, and flowers. Three to a branch and four on the main lampstand. Here's the second picture, and it's a close-up view of the cups, buds, and blossoms. And then here's a picture of the Arch of Titus. The Arch of Titus was constructed in AD 81 to commemorate the victory of Titus and his father Vespasian over the Jews in AD 70. It depicts the triumphal procession in AD 71 after the Romans sacked and destroyed Jerusalem. It provides one of the few contemporary depictions of artifacts from Herod's temple. And again, it is just one artist's rendition, but you can see the lampstand on the left and the table of presence on the right. Okay, here's a closer view. So again, if you look on the left, you can see the lampstand. If you look there on the right, it's a little bit faded, but you can see the table of the presence. According to this picture, the six branches in the lampstand seem to all be at the same height. It's also figured that the ark, the table, and the lampstand were all the same height at the cubit and a half, or about 30 inches tall. So going back to this picture, just imagine the skill and the craftsmanship that it would take to hammer that all the cups, the buds, and the blossoms out of one solid piece of pure gold. You know, we may not know exactly what the lampstand looked like, but because God had it built to his specifications and instructions, it must have looked magnificent, just like the ark and the table. It was probably one of the most ornate objects in the tabernacle itself. But there are a few observations we can make about the lampstand. First, the lampstand or menorah seems to look like a tree with a trunk, branches, cups, buds, and blossoms. So it may have reminded the priest of a flowering tree which symbolized life. And most commentators feel that the lampstand represented the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. And the presence of the cherubim and a growing tree seems to enhance that point of view. Also, when we think about light, we're taken back to creation in Genesis 1:3, where God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. Now, the number 7 in the Bible speaks to perfection. So the 7 lamps of the lampstand symbolize the perfection of the light that will be shining in the holy place. As the priest and the people think back to creation, it will reinforce the truth that God is a supplier of life and light. Second, we may wonder why God had cups, buds, and blossoms of an almond tree fashioned on the lampstand. The almond tree was common in the eastern Mediterranean area. It was known for its early white blossoms, which appeared before the tree started to leaf. So it was considered a hope, considered a symbol of hope and fruitfulness. Jewish tradition is that the cups, buds, and blossoms on the main shaft supporting the blossoms and the uppermost ones supporting the lamps symbolize the Lord's divine watchfulness and care over his people with whom he dwells. And the ornate lampstand would have conveyed 2 messages to the Israelites. One, that the Lord is the source of light for his people. We saw it at creation, we saw it in the pillar of fire, and we will see it in the holy place in the tabernacle. And McKay says this, "There is to be no darkness in the presence of the Creator who has redeemed his people." For the Israelites and for us, the lampstand again foreshadows Jesus Christ as the light of the world. John 8:12 says this, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And then 2, the Lord is the source of life for his people. As the priest saw the lamps on the lampstand illuminating the bread on the table of presence, they would be reminded of God's blessing to them of the manna that he gave them from heaven, which fed them and gave them life. Both light and life are intimately connected to Jesus in the New Testament. John 1, 4-5 says this, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." That brings us to our second point, called the ministry of the lampstand, found in Exodus 25:37-40. Again, this is what God's word says. "Then make it 7 lamps and set them up on it so that they light the space in front of it. Its wick trimmers and trays are to be made out of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." So now we come to the purpose or ministry of the lampstand, which of course was to hold the lamps. And there would be 7 of them, one on top of each branch and on top of the main shaft. And again, we have a picture for you. The lamps which were made separate from the lampstand were to be made out of pure gold. And we see this in Exodus 37:24. "When the lampstand was lit, its 7 lamps would illuminate the space in front of it." I've already mentioned that the space in front of the lampstand was where the table of the presence and the showbread would be. And then we see there are accessories to be made, just like there were for the table. The accessories, the wick trimmers and trays, were practical items to be used in conjunction with the lampstand, and they were also to be made out of pure gold. One of the duties and ministries of the priest were to keep the lamps burning, and that meant adjusting and trimming the wicks. The trays would have been used to dispose of the wicks being trimmed, or to carry the lamps outside to be cleaned or replaced. Next, we're told that a talent of gold was to be used in constructing the lampstand and all the accessories. A talent of gold would have weighed approximately 75 pounds. That was a lot of gold. And again, goes to show the splendor and majesty of what God was giving Moses the pattern to make. And then Moses is reminded again by God to make these items for the tabernacle according to the pattern shown to him on the mountain. And this reminds us of 2 things. 1, this is a verbal description, but there was probably a more detailed visual description given by God to Moses and later communicated to Bezalel and the others who were to do the actual construction. Second, the lampstand, like the rest of the tabernacle, was of divine design, not a human one. It was thought up by God and God alone. The tabernacle points us to heaven, our eternal home, which Jesus went to prepare for his redeemed people. We will dwell in his presence and in the home that he has built for us for all eternity. And he will be our life and light there. There's one more thing that the lampstand would do. Again, it would allow the priest to minister to God and to minister to the people because of its light. You know, and this is interesting because it showed that the lampstand was for the priests, not for God. Just like the bread was not symbolic of food for God to eat, the lampstand was not symbolic of light for him to see. In pagan worship, the worshipers would have set up these items for the gods themselves to use. But Yahweh was different. He was a living and all-powerful God who did not need anything from his creation to sustain him. He is the author and sustainer of life, and he is the only one worthy of our worship. And this worship speaks to the priest's ministry. Along with their duties of making sacrifices, the cleansing and forgiveness of their sins and the sins of the people, the priests were to worship God in the tabernacle. They ministered to the Lord in the holy place by tending the lamps, the table, and the altar of incense. And by fulfilling these duties, they worshiped the Lord with praise and thanksgiving as a sweet fragrance to him. These duties needed to be followed to the letter so that their worship was meaningful and acceptable to the Lord. And without the lampstand, this would have been impossible to do in the dark. But it is interesting that God supplied the lampstand, but the people supplied the olive oil to keep the lamps lit. If the lamps aren't lit, the priest couldn't worship in a meaningful or acceptable way. And as such, neither could the people. No oil, no flame. No flame, no experience of God's presence. No experience of God's presence, and there's no meaningful and acceptable worship of God. You know, this is true for us as well. So what is the application for our lives? Do you remember the old song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning"? One of the meanings of oil in Scripture is the Holy Spirit. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we don't understand and aren't enlightened to be able to worship our Lord and Savior meaningful and acceptably. So we must listen to the Holy Spirit as his oil enlightens us to what meaningful and acceptable worship of God is. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can, as Romans 12:1 says, offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And that brings us to our first next step on the back of your communication card, which is to allow the Holy Spirit to enlighten me so I can worship the Lord in a meaningful and acceptable manner. The lampstand has another very appropriate application for us today. In Matthew 5:14, that Jackie read, Jesus said his followers were the light of the world, and they were to let their light shine before others so that they could see their good deeds and glorify their Father in heaven. And we see this in a parable by J.B. Phillips about Christians shining for Jesus, for Christ. A senior angel was showing a very young angel the splendors and glories of the universe. Finally, the two angels came to our own galaxy. And as the two of them drew near to a star, which we call our sun, and to its circling planets, the senior angel pointed to a small and rather insignificant sphere turning very slowly on its axis. It looked as dull as a dirty tennis ball to the little angel, whose mind was filled with the size and glory of what he had seen. I want you to watch that one particularly, said the senior angel, pointing with his finger. Well, it looks very small and very dirty to me, said the little angel. What's special about that one? That, replied his senior solemnly, is the visited planet. Visited, said the little one. You don't mean visited by, indeed I do. That ball, which I have no doubt looks to you small and insignificant, and not perhaps overclean, has been visited by our Prince of Glory. This was beyond the little angel's comprehension. So to help him understand, the senior angel took him back in human history. While the two of them moved near to the spinning ball, it stopped its spinning, spun backwards quite fast for a while, and then slowly resumed its usual rotation. Now look. And as the little angel did as he was told, there appeared here and there on the dull surface of the globe little flashes of light, some merely momentary, and some persisting for quite a time. What am I seeing now? Queried the little angel. You are watching this little world as it was some thousands of years ago, returned his companion. Every flash and glow of light that you see is something of the Father's knowledge and wisdom breaking into the minds and hearts of people who lived upon the earth. Not many people, you see, can hear his voice or understand what he says, even though he is speaking gently and quietly to them all the time. Why are they so blind and deaf and stupid? Asked the junior angel rather crossly. It's not for us to judge them. We who live in the splendor have no idea what it is like to live in the dark. But watch, for in a moment you will see something truly wonderful. The earth went on turning and circling around the sun. And then quite suddenly, in the upper half of the globe, there appeared a light. Tiny, but so bright in its intensity that both angels hid their eyes. I think I can guess, said the little angel in a low voice. That was the visit, wasn't it? Yes, that was the visit. The light himself went down there and lived among them. Open your eyes now. The dazzling light is gone. The prince has returned to his home of light. But watch the earth now. And as they looked, in place of the dazzling light, there was a bright glow which throbbed and pulsated. And then as the earth turned many times, little points of life spread out. A few flickered and died, but for the most part, the lights burned steadily. And as they continued to watch, in many parts of the globe, there was a glow. You see what is happening? Asked the senior angel. The bright glow is the company of loyal men and women that he left behind. And with his help, they spread the glow. And now lights begin to shine all over the world. What J.B. Phillips described in his parable is our privilege as Christians. God has given us new life. And now that we are alive in Christ, we are called to shine for Jesus, giving a glowing testimony of his saving grace. We shine for Jesus when we go out of our way to show special kindness. We shine for Jesus when we do our work cheerfully without complaining. We shine for Jesus when we give generously to help those in need. And we shine brightest of all when we share the gospel, telling people what God has done to save us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's an old children's hymn that speaks about being a radiant Christian, which gives us a strong challenge to shine for Jesus. Says this, be a light for Jesus, brightly shine each day. Radiate the Savior in the home at play. Others soon will see it as you onward go. Keep on burning brightly with a steady glow. Never let it flicker, never let it dim. Trim your lamp for Jesus, let it shine for him. Shine on through the darkness, precious in God's sight, or his own dear children, walking in his light. So let us be people who never let our light flicker or grow dim, but keep it shining bright for Jesus. And that brings us to our last next step, which is to always keep my light shining brightly for Jesus. As Roxy leads us in a final song, and as the ushers prepare to collect the tithes and offerings, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for this time together with other believers saturated in your word. You have called us to be life and light in this fallen and broken world. And you have supplied us with your Holy Spirit to do just that. Help us to pay attention to your spirit inside of us. Let us be enlightened so we can worship you in a meaningful and acceptable manner. And enable us to always keep our light shining brightly for you. In Jesus' name, amen.